Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to have you out there today. I want to encourage you in your walk with the Lord today and just let you know that God loves you very much. It's a beautiful time of year. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be thankful to the Lord. Whatever He's doing in your life, just give Him thanks, give Him praise and honor. And as we move forward in this study on the spiritual gifts, I want to focus in here on the gifts and the appointments that God has made for people in the church. In other words, how God has set up His body of Christ to function here on this earth in the church. And this is very important to God. It's very important because God is a God of order. He is a God of the universe. Everything works as it's supposed to. Everything works on time and in order. Just as the sun came up this morning and it's going to go down at a certain time tonight, it's a predictable, orderly design that God has for the universe. And so His body of Christ, His believers, as they function in the church, as they congregate together, they also have an order about them that is ordained by God and appointed by God. And God is very much in control of the body of Christ. He's very much in control of the order. And if things get out of order, if people get out of order, there is discipline, there is protocol, and there is an established way to deal with problems. And sometimes God just takes people out of positions in the church. God takes people out and sets churches in order that are in chaos and disorder. And so we're going to look at this in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 27. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthians who had some issues with disorder and chaos and some issues with rebellion and things that needed to be set straight. And so Paul is taking this book of Corinthians, which is a letter written to the Corinthian church, and he is taking this to set them in order so that there would not be confusion, not be chaos, and not be disorder. And so Paul says in verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Then he goes on to say in verse 28, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues." And so Paul lists several office gifts and several gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power gifts here, and he does this in a specific order that is very important. And I want you to understand that this is just not a random order of things thrown out there by Paul, that this is a very important order that God has set, and he related it to Paul, and then Paul related it to the Corinthian Christians. And first of all, you see that the apostles are listed first, and apostles are those that are sent out, and they are the ones that have the missionary calling, you might say, that we would relate to today. And some people say, and you hear this teaching in the church, that we no longer have apostles because the last apostle died, and the only ones that could be true apostles were the ones that saw Jesus Christ in the flesh and Jesus alive. And that is not true. We have apostles now. God gave these gifts for the body of Christ for all time. And so we have apostles now. They are the sent ones. They are sent out from the local church. They are sent out from the body of Christ, and they establish the government, or they establish the foundation of the body of Christ wherever they are sent to. I'm going to be going to Africa here shortly, and I have a mission over there. I have things in mind that I want to get accomplished, and these were given to me by the Holy Spirit. This isn't just Jim's good ideas, some things to do. If I was just going on a tourist venture over there, tourist excursion, I would just go to the Masai Mara and look at the wildlife, look at the giraffes and the elephants and the lions, and then I would come home. That's not my primary purpose, although I'm going to be doing that. That's not my primary purpose for going to Africa. My primary purpose is to go over there as a representative or an emissary of the body of Christ, and I will be taking some provisions, some money and other things, some gifts with me to give to the body of Christ there in Africa. But I will be preaching, and I will be helping to work on the orphanage project. I will be doing things that have never been done exactly in the same way, at the same time, in the same place, ever before. And that is the apostolic calling. When I go into a church, they receive me as Apostle Jim. And when I preach the Crusades, they receive me and advertise me as the Apostle Jim, because they understand that I have been sent to Africa from America. And this is my calling, this is my charge from the Lord, and so I have stepped into my calling. And I want you to know, beloved, that if you pray and you ask the Lord to show you what your divine calling is, He will be faithful and true to do that, just as He has been to me. I was not thinking about Africa. I was not interested in going there. It wasn't anything that was on my mind. And God gave me, back in 2009, He gave me a very vivid dream, and He showed me that I was going to be given an opportunity, an open door, to go to Africa. And in the dream, I was standing on a platform, and I was preaching to thousands of African people. There was a big field of people, and I could tell by the way they were dressed, with the bright colors and the headscarves and all that stuff, I could tell they were African people. I was standing on a platform, and I was holding my Bible in my right hand. In my left hand, I was holding a white bag like a feed sack, and it had written on the front of the bag Revelation 22, and inside the bag were big ears of white corn. It was filled to the top with big ears of white corn. On the platform behind me was a big grain silo, like a 2,000 bushel grain silo, and it was filled to the top with ears of white corn. And God was showing me that He was going to be my provision, that He was going to provide for me. He was going to be providing everything that I needed to go. He was going to be providing the money, the airplane tickets, money for the orphanage project, everything that I would be doing in preaching the Crusades. He was going to be the provision for it, and He was going to take it out of the big silo behind me, and He was going to put it in the small bag in my hand, and then between me and the people out there in the field receiving the message, there was about 40 guys with red hats and blue shirts, prison inmates from the prison where I preach every week. And He was showing me that those men were going to be my intercessors, and He was prophetically declaring to me that these men would be standing in the gap between me and praying for me and praying for the success of the mission. And so everything that I needed was laid out in that one dream: the message, Revelation 22, and the provision, and the platform, the speaking engagements, the Crusades, and the people receiving the message, and the intercessors. It was all there in one package deal, you might say. And the Lord was showing me, Jim, this is the open door, and I want you to walk through it. And I didn't have any contacts of people in Africa. It wasn't something, again, that I was thinking about or that was on my mind. And about 2 months later, I got a call from an evangelist friend of mine in Florida. And he said, Jim, we're going to Kenya. I'm going with a big group from Vancouver, Washington, and we're going to Kenya, and we're going to be preaching all over Nairobi and doing some work in the orphanage there in the Nairobi area, in Kibera, especially the big slum in Nairobi. And he asked me, do you want to go? We need some preachers to go with us. And he asked me, do I want to go? And I didn't even have to pray about it. I didn't even have to think about it. I knew this was the answer to that dream. This was the fulfillment of the open door. And so I said, yes, I will be happy to go. And I had no promises of any particular place that I was going to be preaching or anything like that. But I raised over $3,000 right away and was able to go that first year. That was in 2010. And so the apostolic calling goes with those who are sent. And it's very important. Some people say, well, why do you have to go? Why do you have to go? We have people here in America that need to hear the gospel. Yes, that's why I'm on the radio right now. I understand that. But people say, well, you don't need to go and spend all that money. Well, this is very important for the body of Christ to understand that God sends people where he wants them to go. The Apostle Paul himself was going down the road to Damascus to actually take Christians captive. He was a tormentor and a persecutor of Christians, and so he was going down the road to take Christians captive, and Jesus appeared to him in a vision, and nobody else in Paul's entourage saw the vision or saw Jesus, but Jesus appeared to him in a vision and spoke to him, and Paul knew right away it was the Lord Jesus. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" And so he spoke to him, and Jesus spoke to him, and it blinded him. The bright light of Jesus Christ blinded Saul, later to become the Apostle Paul. And then he was taken into town to a man called Ananias, who came and spoke over him. And Ananias was afraid to speak to Paul because of his reputation of being a persecutor of Christians. But eventually he went and laid hands on Saul, and he spoke to him, and the Lord showed Saul what he must suffer for his sake. And so Saul was sent, and now he's the Apostle Paul, and he's sent out from Antioch with Barnabas, and he is the first, you might say, missionary. He is the first sent one, the first one to go to the Gentile world, and he went up into Turkey, to Ephesus, to Thessalonica, to Macedonia, Greece, all those places up there in southern Asia. And so that is the reason that God sends people from one place to another, is to bring new perspective, it's to bring the apostolic anointing, it's to bring a foundation, a government, and to establish a foundation that others can build upon. And God still does the very same thing today. Beloved, if you go with me to Africa and see how much encouraged those people are over there when people from the United States, because they look up to us. We are the leaders of the free world. We're the most wealthy people in the whole world, the wealthiest nation in the whole world. And so those people look up to us. They have a respect for Americans and a love for Americans that we can't comprehend. And so when we go over there and we encourage them, we preach to them, we strengthen them, we pray with them, we build hospitals, we build orphanages, we build clinics, we have crusades, all these things that take a lot of money. They would not be able to do those things for themselves because they would never have enough money to do that. And so we do that, and that's part of the apostolic anointing, is that we go to these places, we are sent to these places, and there is an anointing that goes with it, which includes powerful gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:12, "Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." And so Paul says this is the hallmark or the calling card, you might say, of the apostolic anointing, is that signs, wonders, and miracles or mighty deeds will be accomplished among you. But Paul says in verse 11 of that same passage, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." And so Paul wasn't going around boasting about his apostolic calling. He wasn't boasting about the anointing that was on him. In fact, just the opposite. He was very, very humble, and he was very appreciative and very respectful of the fact that God had chosen him. And as he went about in all of Asia and Turkey and those places, he went about and he suffered greatly. He suffered mightily to take the kingdom, to take the message of the kingdom to those people. He suffered in many ways, in persecutions, in beatings. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked, spent day and night in the deep, and he suffered mightily that we can never imagine, because we can't suffer that way. But as you go out, you don't know everything that you're going to have to deal with. You don't know everything that you're going to face. You could be very troubled by persecution, You can be troubled by witchcraft. You can be troubled in Africa by Islam. There's many things over there. But God will protect us. God will be our protector, because when we go in His name, He is covering us with His wings. And so we can go in boldness and not in fear and not in trepidation that something is going to happen that is going to keep us from accomplishing the mission that God has for us. Well, the apostolic calling is given by the Lord. It's not ordained by men. Ephesians 1, verse 1, Paul says, "And I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God." Galatians 1, 1 says, "I, Paul, an apostle, not from man, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." And so you'll notice that every one of Paul's letters to the Galatians, to the Corinthians, to whatever church he was writing to, he starts them all out and he says, "I, Paul, an apostle sent by Jesus Christ, sent by God. I am not ordained by men." And that's okay for man to ordain people. It is a tradition, and it has some biblical foundation. Paul himself, they laid hands on him in Acts 13 when he was sent out on the first missionary journey. They laid hands on him and blessed him and anointed him and encouraged him. But his ordination does not come from man. And when you have the apostolic anointing and the office gift, the spiritual gift of apostle, and you are a sent out one, it does not come from man. There's some people that have been ordained that shouldn't have been, and there's some people that are ordained in the wrong office. They're acting as pastors and they should be evangelists, or they're acting as evangelists and they should be pastors. And so there's many things that occur in an ordination. But Paul was very adamant in explaining that he was not sent out by man. He was sent out by Jesus Christ. His ordination came directly from God the Father and Jesus Christ. And so that is his blessing. That is his anointing. And so Paul went and he fulfilled his anointing and he fulfilled his calling. And eventually we know that he ended up in Rome in a prison. Wrote several books, Philippians and several other books of the Bible, from that prison cell. And he was fulfilling his calling, and eventually he suffered with Jesus Christ and gave up his head for the gospel in that Roman prison. Well, in verse 28, back to that foundation scripture we have, God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, and second, prophets. Why prophets? Why so much emphasis on the prophets? It's because the prophets are the guides. They come in after the apostles. They come in and they drop the plumb line and they say there needs to be correction here, or there needs to be edification here, or there needs to be encouragement here, or consolation, that is to give comfort. And so the prophets give a word of edification, exhortation, consolation, and the prophets bring correction wherever there is correction that needs to be given. 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul says to the Christian Corinthian church, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Verse 2, "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, and no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." Well, edification is the building up, and we all need that. Exhortation is encouragement, and we all need that. Encouragement in our spiritual walk, and comfort. We all need comfort. Jesus told the disciples when he was leaving in John 14, he said, "I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you alone, but I'm going to leave the Comforter with you, the Paraclete, and I'm going to leave this Comforter with you, and he will comfort you, and he will console you, and he will be with you there as the Holy Spirit to encourage you in every situation." And so Paul says that prophecy is of great importance, it's of great value, and so therefore he lists it here in verse 28 as second behind the apostolic calling and the apostolic anointing. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 28, then third comes the teachers, that is the teachers, pastors. They are the ones that teach and give sound doctrine or teach sound doctrine so that the people in the body of Christ understand God's word, they understand sound doctrine, they understand what's going on with teaching that they receive from various avenues. And then Paul goes on to say, then comes miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Well, why miracles listed here fourth and then gifts of healings? It's because God does not want us to put undue value or to place undue value upon the gifts of miracles and not get fascinated and enamored by miracles. Miracles are given in the body of Christ to point the way to Jesus. We're not to seek the miracles themselves. We're not to seek the healings for their own sake, for themselves. They are given to the body of Christ to point the way to Jesus, to point the way to the power of God so that we can see God working through miracles and God working through healings. And it will then build the faith and encourage those who are especially outside the faith. It will encourage them to see that God is a powerful God. He is a sovereign God. He is a miracle-working God. And so it's very important then that we understand the importance of miracles and healings, but that we don't elevate them above the level of salvation and above the level of knowing Jesus Christ. There are many sick people that know Jesus Christ and are very much in love with Jesus, and they are on their way to heaven even though their bodies are sick. And there's very many healthy people here in America that are obsessed with eating every bean sprout and organic food in just the right way, or you know, getting in their 2 mile or 5 mile walk every day, but they don't know Jesus, and so they have a secular humanism religion that is going to condemn them. If they don't come to know Jesus, it doesn't matter how good a shape their body is in, they're just going to be condemned. They're going to hell with a good body, and we're all going to die, beloved. Every single one of us are going to die, and so you need to be ready to die. You need to be ready. You don't know what day God is going to call you home, and it's great to have a good physical body. I'm all for that. I've been an organic farmer for many years, so I believe in eating good food, and I believe in taking care of your body. That is God's will as well. But your spiritual health is more important to the Lord. It's more important to Him that you be ready to go whenever He calls you. And so physical strengthening is of some profit. It is of some benefit. Physical strengthening is of some gain. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you are misplacing your energy. If you spend all your days like many men do out there that are incarcerated, they spend all their days lifting weights or walking around the track taking care of their physical body, but they neglect their spiritual health, and God wants you to take care of your spiritual health. So the miracles and the gifts of healings are not elevated above the level of knowing Jesus Christ and knowing what your eternal destiny is and knowing where your eternal home is. And then after the gifts of healings, then Paul lists helps and administrations, that is to organize the body of Christ so the everything functions smoothly. We have to have people to do the paperwork. We have to have people to answer the phone. We have to have people to write the books or to edit the books. There's many different functions in the body of Christ that are taken care of under the banner, under the headline of helps and administrations, and that's all very important to the Lord, because Paul lists here, it's all very important so that the body of Christ functions in a smooth and orderly manner. And then last but not least, Paul lists the varieties of tongues. Tongues are important because it is the language of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, do not quench prophecies and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Tongues are the language of the Holy Spirit, and so when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are given a prayer language, our tongue language, and it also, when you speak with tongues in the corporate setting, in the body of Christ, tongues with interpretation, then it has the same weight as prophecy in relating a prophetic word to the body of Christ. But we don't elevate tongues to the point where we say you have to have tongues or you're not saved. I've heard some people say that. That is not true. Tongues is not an evidence of salvation. Your salvation comes from knowing and confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you have not made that confession today, never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. You need to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. I confess my sins, all the ways that I've sinned against you, that I've lied, that I've cheated, that I've stolen, that I've had sexual immorality or done things that have hurt you, the heart of Father God. You confess those today and ask Jesus to come in and save you, and he will be faithful and true to save you, and he will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will be saved not only from this earth, not only on this earth, but you will be saved for all eternity, and you can rejoice with the angels who are rejoicing in heaven. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know what you like about this program, and if you have prayer requests, send those in. We'd be happy to pray with you over those prayer requests. Sit down, write us out a check. You'll receive a book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. And so we appreciate your prayers for the upcoming Africa mission. We appreciate your donations. We appreciate your support. And I thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.